वाम इच्छताम तीरताम स्रोतु शिला दयो गुना यत्र तेजस्ततत् तदिच्छूनां मानो यत्र मनास्विनां।
Who hears this narration of Dhruva Maharaj acquires exalted qualities like him. For anyone who desires greatness, prowess, or influence, here is the process by which to acquire them. And for thoughtful men who want adoration, here is the proper means. Therefore, by this divine grace, I seek the divine consolation. In the material world, everyone is after profit, respectability, and reputation. Everyone wants the supreme exalted position. And everyone wants to hear about the great qualities of exalted persons. All ambitions which are desirable for great persons can be fulfilled simply by reading and understanding the narration of Dhruva Maharaj's activity.
We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 12, entitled Dhruva Maharaj Goes Back to God. Chapter number 47. Srimad Bhagavatam is Amalam Purana. It is the essence of all Vedas, the purest of all knowledge, because Dharma Prochita Kaitavodha Paramanirmana Sadhana. From the very beginning, it puts aside economic development, religiosity, sense gratification, or even liberation. The sole topic of Srimad Bhagavatam is pure devotional service. There is no compromise. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is speaking to Devananda Pandit in Kuliagram of Navadvip. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emphasized this point. Devananda Pandit was a very famous, austere, brahminical scholar of the Bhagavad. Perhaps the most popular in all the land. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could not tolerate hearing him. But when Devananda Pandit came and begged forgiveness for his offenses, then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained every word of Srimad Bhagavatam is only speaking about pure, unalloyed devotion, with no desire for personal, selfish interest. So here, one of the most famous of all the stories of Srimad Bhagavatam is coming to a conclusion, and at its crescendo. Maitreya Rishi is giving a benediction. that anyone who hears this narration of Dhruva Maharaj acquires exalted qualities like him. For anyone who desires greatness, prowess, or influence, here is the process by which to acquire them. And for thoughtful men who want adoration, here is the proper. But we don't study this verse very carefully and understand it in the context of the whole. We confound, why is this benediction being given in Srimad Bhagavatam? By hearing the story, you can fulfill your desire for adoration, for greatness, prowess, or influence. But what this story is telling is how Dhruva Maharaj achieved these things, and what his consciousness was when he achieved them. In other words, what this verse is saying, if you want these things, you should follow in the footsteps of Dhruva Maharaj. And not use it for yourself, but use it exclusively for the service of the Lord. When Dhruva Maharaj was just a boy of 5, his heart was crushed by the harsh words of his stepmother, Subhuchi. Krishna tells in Gita, for one who is honored, his sadhana is worse than death. That certainly applies to the condition of Dhruva. He was so much insulted. And when he turned to his father to protect him, his father ignored him. A 5-year-old child attacked. Father sides with the person attacking you. It was unbearable. He couldn't live. He ran to his mother, but there was nothing she could do for him as far as helping him to achieve what he wanted. He wanted to sit on the throne on his father's lap, like any child of a king would want, but he was not permitted to do so. Your father does not love me. He loves someone else, and therefore he doesn't love you, because you're born from me. So Ruchi has given you good instruction. She said, if you want to sit on the throne with your father, you should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead and get the benediction to be born in my womb. Then only. Lita took the essence of that. So what she said is true. You should worship the Supreme Personality of God. And those words went so deep into Dhruva's heart. He went to the forest to worship the Lord. And Jai Mahanadi Swami Maharaj. He was so sincere. He was so determined. How many of you are willing to go into the dense, dark recess of the forest with no intention to return to worship the Lord? He was 5 years old, never saw a day in his life without the loving care of his mother and her maidservants in a royal palace. He gave it all up. That's how much he was hurt. four types of people approach the Lord, Krishna tells. One who is in distress, that was Dhruva. He was not inquisitive. He was not seeking the absolute truth. He was certainly not an poverty. But he was in immense distress. He went because he wanted a kingdom greater than his father and greater than his grandfather. He had material desire. He wanted power. He wanted adoration. He wanted greatness. He wanted his own throne. Sri Narada Muni stood him and then sent him to Madhuba, the bank of Yamuna in Vrindavan. Gave him the mantra of chanting the Lord's name, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Taught him how to worship the deity form of the Lord and meditate on its beautiful transcendental form and quality. And so that he could totally focus on the holy name and the deity and his service, he taught him tapasya so that he could fix his mind. The purpose of tapasya. The purpose of tapasya in the path of bhakti is not simply to torture the body. It is to put aside all other distractions so that one can completely focus one's consciousness on Krishna. We give up other forms of sense gratification so all of our senses and mind will be focused on Krishna. Raghunath Das Goswami, one of Mahanadi Swami Maharaj's neighbors, such tapasya he did. Gave up a magnificent estate that his father and uncle was just wearing. Discarded piece of cloth as a culprit. Sleeping under trees in forests. Eating just a little leaf cup of buttermilk once a day. Such tapasya. As far as sleeping, 1.5 hours a day. And on many occasions, he didn't have time. He forgot about that. But what was his purpose? He was totally immersed, his mind and senses, in tasting the nectar of bhakti. Absorbed in Radha and Krishna's Leela. Absorbed in chanting Radha and Krishna's name. Absorbed in doing seva for Radha and Krishna in his heart, with all of his senses, everything. The perfection of samadhi. So in the forest, Dhruva Maharaj for 6 months performed these austerities. He was eating some dry meat. He was just drinking a little water. And he was taking some air. And at the end of... But the whole while he was chanting, and he was meditating on the Lord, as his Guru Maharaj described. Until his mind and senses were so totally absorbed, he could stand on one toe. That wasn't his power. That was the power of the Lord that was manifesting within him. He transcended his body and mind. And all he could see was the form of the Lord within his body. He wasn't intentionally withdrawing the air of the entire universe. But that was the effect. The demigods approached Brahma and said, "We can't breathe." Because Rupa was holding his breath. The power of the Lord within his heart. He wasn't thinking he was doing that. He was simply meditating on that beautiful form in ecstasy. And when Lord Narayan disappeared from his heart, it was such a jolt to him. He opened his eyes. And that same form he saw within was standing right before him. And little Dhruva wanted to offer prayers. But he never had much Sanskrit training. He was only a boy of 5. But the Lord sees our desire, our intention. And when Krishna sees we really have that desire to serve, by his own sweet will, he can empower us to fulfill that desire. Just by touching Dhruva Maharaj with his conch shell, he gave Dhruva Maharaj such mastership over Sanskrit poetry and such realized words to speak that the greatest sages and scholars through history over millions of years are worshiping his word. The Lord offered him benediction. Dhruva Maharaj, Prabhupada cites, he says, "My Lord, I came to you looking for broken glass of adoration, power, wealth. But you have given me the rare diamond of your loving service. I want nothing else." But Lord Narayan ordered Dhruva to return to his kingdom, become the king, and rule the world, and live in opulence with the highest power of any human being on this planet. Dhruva did not want it, but he accepted it exclusively for the service of the Lord, to be an instrument of the Lord's compassion within this world. Similarly, another 5-year-old boy, Prahlad, the Lord appeared before him as Narasimhadev and offered him any benediction. Prahlad Maharaj said, "My Lord, I'm born in an atheistic, demoniac family. I'm so conditioned by material desires. Please do not tempt me with benedictions. If I ask anything from you, I'm not a devotee. I'm simply doing business. I only want to remember you always." After hearing that, Narasimhadev said, "Now your father is gone, you should be coronated as the king. Sit on the throne. Rule the whole race of the Asuras." Tremendous wealth, tremendous power, tremendous adoration.
And Prahlad accepted it.
Very common in both of these stories. They wanted nothing from the Lord except to serve Him, to remember Him, and to do good for others.
But it was the Lord's desire they accept.
The most inconceivable material facilities. And just before this sloka, after Dhruva Maharaj was fighting with Yakshas,
Kubera appeared. Kubera is the treasurer of the Devatas. He has unbelievable access to wealth. And he's offering Dhruva, take a benediction from me.
Very rare to get that offer from Kubera.
And when Kubera offers you a benediction, he's not subjected to the stock market today.
Some very wealthy man was getting people to invest and was giving them high interest, and people were getting really, really wealthy.
He had $50 billion of money. People, banks were giving to him. The wealthiest men in the world were giving to him. Instead of getting 3%, they were getting 12% interest. He was really famous and really popular. But then when things changed, everybody lost everything. $50 billion were lost.
They thought he was like Kubera.
But he wasn't.
If anywhere in this material creation there's a safe investor, it's Kubera. And even he has to die and lose everything.
So he'd offer Dhruva Maharaj anything.
What is Dhruva Maharaj's desire? I only want unflinching faith and remembrance in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nothing.
Dhruva Maharaj ruled the world for 36,000 years.
Then he enthroned his son.
And with no difficulty whatsoever, he left his palace, left everything, and went to Badrikashram.
Now, you may have been to Badrikashram recently. In those days, there were no guest houses.
A forest. There was nothing except sages living in caves. He lived amongst them. Three times every day he bathed in the frigid waters of Alaknandi.
And there he would sit and completely absorb himself in meditating on the beautiful form and pastimes. And then airship came down. Nanda and Sunanda.
They said, the Supreme Lord, He sent us from Vaikuntha to bring you to His abode.
Please come. Dhruva Maharaj, Prabhupada explains,
he could have just got on a Vaikuntha ship and went back to Godhead right then and there. He didn't have to do anything else.
So he went and took his bath in the cold water of Alaknandi.
And then he performed all of his day's spiritual practices.
And then he went to each and every one of the sages and bowed down to them, took the dust of their lotus feet, honored them, and beg for their blessings. And after he did all those things, Then he approached the airship. Rock!
He didn't have to take another cold bath. He didn't have to chant his rounds. Or whatever he was doing. His spiritual practice. He was finished with all that.
Sound in America. They look just like Lord Narayan.
Without Srivatsan.
Look, just come. The Supreme Lord has sent this airplane
just for you.
It wasn't like the airplanes we get in where you have to, you know, stand in line and so many other people.
This Vaikuntha airship was sent from Vaikuntha exclusively and only for Dhruva Maharaj. None of the other sages there.
Now, if somebody was going to rationally, on a material platform, think about
what if this airship is for me?
You may become proud. But Srila Prabhupada explained that Dhruva Maharaj was such in a mood of service. His spiritual practices were for the pleasure of the Lord. He never thought, I'm advanced. I still have to do my sadhana. It's like Srila Prabhupada, such a paramhamsa. But he would chant his rounds every day. He was an acharya. On one level, he was doing it as an example for us. But on another level, he was doing it because he was a humble devotee. He just wanted to please the Lord.
It is explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Raghunath Das Goswami, his sadhana, his regulative principles of chanting at least 1 to 2 lakhs every day of the holy name, he would offer his prostrate obeisances 1,000 times to the Supreme Lord, 2,000 times to the Vaishnavas, every day, without fail. He observed like the lines in stone.
The lines in stone cannot be erased by any means. Similarly, no situation could distract Raghunath Das Goswami from following his sadhana.
And he's our Prayojana Guru. He was on the highest platform of the gopis' love for Krishna. He was beyond Vaikuntha. Because Gokul Vrindavan is not different than Goloka Vrindavan. The Vrindavan that is here in this world, Bhauma Vrindavan, is the spiritual world. It's not a representation of the spiritual world. It is the spiritual world. But we have to have the eyes to see it. Premandana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. We have to have the bhava, the love, to reciprocate with Krishna. And then Krishna reveals Vrindavan. Raghunath Das Goswami, he was the most highly enlightened personality. He was seeing Radha and Krishna. He was so much deeply in separation from Radha and Krishna. They were performing their pastimes in his heart. Forever. Here he is. Dhruva Maharaj was going back to God. Still he wanted to do his son. Raghunath Das Goswami was all, he was back to God, beyond Vaikuntha. He was in Goloka. In his heart of hearts. But still, he performed his sadhana every day. He took his baths in Radha Kund every day.
He honored and worshipped the Vaishnavas by offering obeisances 2,000 times. How many times do you offer obeisances to Vaishnavas in a day? Sometimes once every morning when you kind of have to because everybody else.
Vanchakam paparudhasya vipasindhubhya.
Patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo. Now Raghunath Das Goswami, he was oftentimes living alone. It's not that anyone was watching him. He was simply doing it for the pleasure of Radha Gopinath. Because it was an expression of his love and an expression of his total humility. So Dhruva Maharaj, he performed all of the sadhana, performed his tapasya, and then offered all respects to people who were not going back to Godhead. If it was me, I would have probably been thinking, there's no airship for them, the airship's for me. They should be bowing down and asking for my blessing. But Dhruva Maharaj was begging for their blessings. Without your blessings, it's not auspicious for me to go back to God. That was his humility. That is the quality by which Krishna wanted him to go back to God. That type of humble devotion attracts the all-attractive. And then when he's about to go on this airplane, death personified stands right before him. It's when you're going to leave this world, it means you die. Yes? He was about to leave this world. Death. Death personified stood before him. And by the power of Dhruva Maharaj's devotion, Dhruva put his foot on Death's head and used it as the step to get on the airplane. This is very powerful lesson. There is nothing that is feared worse than death, because everyone knows that it is inevitable. The whole concept of I, me, and mine is devastated. You lose your body, and you lose all your relationships, and all your possessions, and all your credentials. Everything is finished. That is death. But for a devotee who takes shelter of the Supreme Personality of God, death is the stepping stone to the spiritual world. When I die, I go back to God. It's not something to fear. Something to look forward to. If you're really Krishna conscious. And then he got on the ship. And it was just about to take off. And Dhruva Maharaj still wasn't even thinking about himself going back to Godhead. He was thinking about his mother. He wasn't thinking his mother like, oh, I will miss my mother with material attachment. He was thinking, how can I go without her? She's my Pata Padashika Guru. It's by her grace that I worship the Supreme Personality of God. he was thinking so grateful. Such a quality of a Vaishnava. Never forget somebody who helps you. All his mother did is say one line. And she said it over 36,000 years before. And he still remembered. It was still so much in his heart. He felt so grateful, so indebted. She helped me on the path of bhakti. How can I go without her? And just by that thought, the Lord within his heart arranged.
Nanda and Sunanda. Please forgive me for that mistake, Nanda.
Nanda and Sunanda pointed into the sky, and Dhruva saw there was an airplane with his mother already going to Vaikuntha. And Narada Muni explains in this regard, in this story, that he went to that place that is self-illuminating and that can only be attained by those who are genuinely compassionate to other living beings. The Prabhupada explains, unless you have selfless compassion to other living beings, you cannot go to Vaikuntha.
And Prabhupada says, even if you're not able to deliver fallen souls, if you just have that desire, you just have that feeling of compassion,
then Krishna will give you entrance. And Srila Prabhupada, in his great humility, he reveals his heart in one book. Dhruva's mother was not so advanced. Not like him. But she went back to Godhead on the strength of his love for Krishna. The Prabhupada said, even if the Shikshaguru or Dikshaguru is not very advanced, if the disciple where the student becomes very powerful in their devotional service by the strength of their love, they can bring their guru back to Godhead too. And Prabhupada cites Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who said, if through all this preaching and all this propaganda of bhakti, if even one person becomes a pure devotee of the Lord, I will consider my whole mission a success. And then Srila Prabhupada, the inconceivable nature of a pure Vaishnava's consciousness. He says that he's praying that even one of his disciples can become powerful in their devotional service like Dhruva, so that he can, Prabhupada says, so he can bring me back to Godhead with them. This is the quality of a person in the spiritual world. This is the quality that conquers Krishna. So, let's get back to today's verse.
Anyone who desires greatness, prowess, influence, or adoration should hear the story of Dhruva. Because if you actually hear the story of Dhruva Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj wanted all of those things. Right? He wanted all those things initially when he went to the forest. But then he gave up all the desire for those things and ultimately got it anyway, but used it all selflessly in the service of the Lord for the welfare of others. So what this slope is really saying is not that you're going to get material adoration and influence and power and wealth by reading this story. What it's saying is study this story carefully if you want these things and follow in the footsteps of Dhruva Maharaj. And worship the Supreme Lord under the guidance of the Guru and the Parampara of Narada Muni. And fix your mind on the Lord by chanting His holy names and worshipping the deities and performing seva. Develop the qualities that Dhruva did. And then become completely transcendental to any other desire except to remember the Lord, to have unflinching faith in the Lord, to serve the devotees of the Lord, to be an instrument of the Lord's compassion. And then, even if the Lord gives you all these things, you don't even want it. But you'll use it for the pleasure of Krishna, if that is His will. That's what this verse is. It's the Srimad Bhagavatam's way of saying, give up everything. And just love Krishna. And chant His holy name. Thank you very much. Mahanidhi Swami Maharaj, would you like to say something, please? Can we give microphone to them? His glance, that's the thing. He knows the world. Like a Hare Krishna. Thank you, Hare Krishna.